Morning.
Morning.
Please turn to 261. 261.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in the song with sweet accord. Join in the song with sweet accord. And the
Let us bow. Dear Lord, how great and how wonderful you are. Such a loving God. You created all the world, all the wonderful blessings of life that you have made for us to enjoy this beautiful day. We are so thankful for all that you do for us. We ask you would be with all those, dear Lord, who have been sick and afflicted, the less fortunate we are. Those have lost loved ones recently. Comfort, strengthen them as only you can. Help us be better examples. Help us always love and support one another. Be with the church here at New Lakes and our sister congregations. Help us grow spiritually and numerically. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. Genesis 6, verse 22, and chapter 7, verse 1. In the Pew Bible, that is on page 9. Page 9 of the Pew Bible. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation.
If you want to mark your psalm books to 578, 578. 184, please. Jim will be our speaker this morning. Thank him for his efforts. And I'll turn it over to him after this psalm. 184.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example, happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, let in paths of light. Pressing more closely to Him who is leading, when we are tempted to turn from the way, trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, let in paths of
scriptures very quickly. You don't have to turn to them. I'll have them on there today as we look at this. This is Lessons from Noah's Ark. I'm going to have to turn this speaker on, I think, to get my voice. That's the other thing. I have all these helps. You get home, you get these helps, and this does help. My voice has gotten weaker and weaker, and I need this on. Technology is nice when it works. That's why I always had to go to school, go back to the piece of chalk, eraser, and an old chalkboard, and they never failed me. We'd bring in a movie projector, something like that, film broke, or something on something we were trying to do. And with technology, there's more problems. They improve things in some ways, but in other ways, they aren't. If that doesn't work real quick here, we'll just start with that. I'll try to speak up and get this one on. I'll go ahead and start the introduction to this while we're seeing if that mic will work. Lessons from Noah's Ark. I actually already had a lot to do with this too.
Okay. A couple years ago, he gave me a house-to-house, heart-to-heart, that little newsletter that the church puts out down in Tennessee that we used to send that out. Very good articles on it. This article was in the back of that, and I wanted to give them, the people that wrote the article, let you know where it did come from. That was in House-to-House, Volume 27, actually number 3 for that year. Thoughts for Today to Brighten Your Day. It was written by Glenn Mercedes and Lauren Hitchcock. So it sounds like they were a family that wrote this. And they come up with about 10 different lessons from Noah's Ark. And they were written with a humor to it, but also it makes a good point and things we can learn about Noah. I've adapted this, I've changed it around, I've got more than 10. And there won't be time for all that today. We'll look at some of the lessons from Noah's Ark. I think they're very good lessons. We have what Ernie read from the Old Testament, and then actually Christ spoke about Noah, and the apostles. I know that Peter spoke about Noah, and some of the other apostles, I believe. So Noah was important. So I wanted to get us to thinking here about one of the things that Daryl preached about, I don't know, it was a few months ago, and some of the things that might have been said to Noah. He's out there working, and if I remember right, I read that a few days ago, I think it was worked on that over 100 years. You think about that, that's a couple lifetimes sometimes for us. But he worked on that, and he had never seen it rain before, nor the people. And I'm sure they had to have some comments. These neighbors working there. You get up in the morning and there's pound. What's that pound? Oh, it's Noah over there working on that thing. You know, and some of the stuff probably was said by the people when they walked past and things. But the important thing is what Noah did. He got up every day and worked on this. So I don't know. That's not looking good. There it goes. I made this up, I'll tell you right now. One of those guys that was walking past, I'm sure Noah had to be a craftsman in what he did with building that ark to do that. Now, I know some of you saw the replica down in, I think it's Kentucky, it's got a replica of Noah's ark. And they built it just, I think, the exact size of the ark and everything. You can go see that. And this is an artist's painting. This may be close, it may not. You people that saw that probably know whether this looks something like it or not. But Noah would be working on that every day, and I'm sure he worked with other people. They'd come by with probably comments. Now, I just gave this guy a name, and we'll call him Sylvester. Sylvester worked with Noah. They worked with wood. He comes by one day, and he says, you know, Noah, all the buildings we built, we used white oak for the frame. Don't you think if you put that centerpiece right here, that's on the ark, that's important. It's not getting this to work right again. Right back to the same thing I don't want. Anyway, I'm not going to be able to use that like I plan to. You have a center beam in the ark here, and it starts at one end, runs underneath, and clear to the other. We'll say that he suggests, well, why don't you build that out of white oak? And then another neighbor goes by, maybe Marvin or whatever his name would be, and he says, you know, I'm a roofer, and it's never rained, but the roofs I build keeps the dew and the moisture off. I've always used red cedar. So if you would put red cedar up here on this roof, Noah, that would probably make a better roof, especially if water's going to fall out of the sky. So what if Noah would have took those suggestions? He put the white oak on that main beam, put a red cedar roof on the ark. Now we'll go to the next point here. Genesis 6, 22 and 20 and 7, 1 is what Ernie read. That's still not giving me that. I'm going to try to go back and get this set up right. Yeah, I've got it there with that. I can go back to this again now. See, there's your white oak. There's that main beam. Now, put on a red cedar roof right over this. Now we get to the next part. Here's the verse. Thus Noah did, this is important here, according to, and this is a three-letter word. It's not something that a lot of people notice. According to all that God commanded him, so he did. Notice that. Now, the next verse. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So this is the point here. Of all the people alive at this time, Noah was the righteous one. Now, if he had put that white oak in the ark, if he had put a red cedar roof on that, did he do all that God commanded him? No, he wouldn't have. He added something to it. It's not all. He didn't follow it all the way. Would he have been righteous? I think you can answer that. He wouldn't have been acceptable before God. Now, Noah could have said, this I don't understand today, that what we'll use. We use logic about the Bible and God that we wouldn't use in other life. Noah could have said, well, he didn't say not to. I hear that a lot. He didn't say not to. He didn't say not to use white oak. He didn't say not to use a red roof. But he said to use gopher wood. So if he didn't say not to, I guess I could do that. That logic does not work anyplace else. It never worked for me. If my dad gave me directions, he told me what to do, and I didn't do it all, and I come in and say, well, you didn't tell me not to do this, I know what would have happened with that kind of logic. Next, try this. If you ever get stopped for speeding, you're going down the highway. I had a friend tell me this lately. He'd stopped by a highway patrolman on Interstate 70 mile an hour. He was going 80-something. And he said, well, when the state patrol asked him why he was going so fast, he said, well, it's steep and it's going downhill. I just kind of let it roll. He said, the speed limit is 70, and it's 70 whether you're going up, whether you're going down, or you're on the level. Now, can you see the state patrolman saying that? Now, what if he had come back and said, the sign back there doesn't say not to go 81. What would happen? What, you see the logic in that? We don't use that in life that way. But when it comes to religion, we'll say that. Well, it doesn't say not to use instruments, although all the scripture says is sing over and over again. How is it that the instruments are not ever mentioned? If God wanted those, wouldn't he have told us what instruments that they were playing and what we were doing? So that's a point in that when we kind of use that kind of logic. We can't use that we don't use it in common sense, so we have to remember that. Jesus himself spoke about Noah. This is from Luke 17, 26 and 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The wickedness at that time, it says it was so bad that every thought and every intent of the heart was evil. Now, things are bad right now in this country, but I don't think they're that bad yet. But you can imagine what that would have been like. Now, God had had enough of it. He brought a flood on, and that all ended. And we just recently finished a Bible course on Wednesday night. That was last week, the last lesson on that. There's going to be a day when God gets fed up with way things are like he did in Noah's time, and he's going to do away with the earth. And we know that Christ spoke of that. There will be a day that this earth is going to be burned up. Christ said he didn't even know when that day is going to come. Yet we have people, that's another thing of what they're thinking. It tells, no one knows when this is, but then last century, different groups would take and predict when that was. If you know the Bible, you know that they were false. And it didn't take place. We're still here. But I believe that is going to come someday. And it may be soon, and it may not. But it is going to happen. The world will be destroyed by fire, as it was in the day of Noah. And the Bible talks about it. The earth was cleansed. Cleansed of what? Wickedness, sin, and all those evil thoughts and intents and actions that were people doing. Okay, here's the humorous part. This was the first thing that they came up with. Don't miss the boat. So for us as Christians, what would that mean? Don't miss the boat. Well, at their time, I've thought about how terrible that would have been. If you're on that boat, look, both the family, and you have other relatives standing on the outside of the boat, then that's a little bit scary for you. And you think what that might have been like if, when the water actually started coming up, and it says that the water, you know, we know that it rained 40 days and 40 nights, but it also, it says that the fountains of the deep released. So something happened to the earth where the water was probably coming up out of the ground as well and flooded. And it flooded so bad that it covered everything up. And all life died. And the Bible talks about it. The earth was cleansed. Cleansed of what? The wickedness, the sin. But don't miss the boat. And we don't want our friends, our relatives to miss the boat either. As Christians, that means obeying the gospel of Christ and being added to God's church. In Matthew 11:28, and this is in red, these are the words right off the lips of Jesus, "Come to me, and all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come, that's an encouragement, encouraging. To who? Salvation's only in Jesus. Come to me. All. We know we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what is this? Who labor and are heavy laden, laden with sin. Only Christ can forgive sin. And he says it here, I will give you rest. That's that forgiveness of sin if we're willing to believe in him and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second lesson, we all are in the same boat. We all have the same promises, the same rewards, the same spiritual blessings that are promised as we're in Christ's church. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." All spiritual blessings. We all have those promises. We have those rewards to look forward to through Christ. And we have to make sure that we have that Christ relationship of obedience and faith. And we realize that we have these benefits, these blessings, because of the grace of God, that they're freely given. Third lesson, plan ahead. It never rained when Noah started building the ark. That's something to think about there. He had no idea. And I just wonder who came up the word for the water falling out of the sky. At that time, the earth had been watered in some manner like dew. And we notice right now the way the temperatures are. If you walk out in the grass right before it gets dark, it starts that dew and it gets wetter and wetter and wetter. And it gets pretty wet. It would help plants. But there was enough at that time, it kept the vegetation and everything growing. So he was planning for something, and he hadn't seen it yet. That's faith, that he was able to keep doing that and not know. Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now, Job talked about that. Man is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. things come along in life. We never know, and I was just talking about that to someone. We never know what's coming along, and it's better we don't, or at least for me, that's the way I feel about it. I'm glad I don't know what I was going to go through physically as far as health in the later years. Same way with, I think, death. We know that we're all going to die, or Christ is going to come before then. One of those two things are going to happen. It's appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. So we need to be redeeming the time, make the best use of our times. Looking at those that are Christians and in the church and are following Christ, you never know what we're going to be called upon to do, what we can do for the church, what good we can do for someone else, and to be thinking that way, to bring honor to Christ and to God. That's what was mentioned here when it says Noah was righteous in his generation. He's the one that was doing things like that. And that's what we see in Christ as we walked. It would have been something to see Christ walking around and healing people. And some days I think since he was physical in the physical form, he had to just be worn totally out with the number of people that he would heal and work with in a day. Next, stay fit. You never know when you will be needed. That's very important. And in the church, there's so many things that may be needed to help. And we can't do that one or two people. Or that it takes several people when we work together. And that's what God had planned. That's why the church is here. Some of the things that the church is supposed to bring forth the manifold wisdom of God. That's through the things they do. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. Therefore, I ran thus, not with uncertainty. And I think Paul must have seen a lot of races and physical things at that time. The Greeks were doing a lot of that. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air. So apparently he saw even fights, that contests that way. If you're a fighter and you're hitting the air, if it's fights going on, you're not being very effective. But I discipline my body, that's Paul talking, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. In other words, I get off on the wrong course. So he disciplined his body, and I think that means both physically and spiritually. You think of what Paul went through. He was beat. He got bit by a poisonous snake. I was talking to somebody yesterday about poisonous snakes. He was shipwrecked, and it just goes on. He was stoned to where they thought he was dead. And look at all the things he went through. But he makes this statement, I'm going to discipline my body so that I'm able to do the things that I should be doing. And that last phrase there, should come disqualified, he wanted to make sure he was practicing what he was preaching. In other words, for us, we need to be living the life that Christ wanted for us, not just talking about it, not just thinking about it. And finally, on this, I think I want to make sure we have enough time for the closing on it. So I'm just going to do part of these today. So the next one here, maybe one or two more. Persevere, very important as a Christian. Endurance. Don't let critics stop a good work. That's something we could use today. If it's a good work, if it's good for you to be doing it, if it's good for the church, then we need to persevere in that. In 1 Corinthians, again from Paul, verse 58 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, so this shows Paul's love for the church. Be steadfast. And this is not hard to understand. We know what steadfast means. If we didn't, we'd know it in the next word. It Bible often explains itself. Steadfast, immovable. You're not going to be budged from that spot. I always think about a football line and a football player. That's one of the things the line wants to do. They don't want to be knocked backwards. They're steadfast, immovable. They can't budge off that spot. Always abounding, though, if we put this in a spiritual sense, abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We'll be rewarded. And we just talked about we all have the same spiritual blessings if we're in Christ. Consider how you are building. There's something about that. We have to have authority, and a lot of people don't want to hear this. I've heard that as a criticism. You say you have to have authority for everything. Yes, because there's only one authority. The New Testament calls the church the body. That body has a head. That's our authority. And we got to make sure that we build everything we build is on the foundation of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10 here, according to the grace of God, and again we remember that all this that we get is the grace of God. We know we can't earn it. Which was given to me as a wise master builder. This is Paul talking about building up the churches. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have to make sure we have the authority through Christ. He's the one that purchased the church with his blood. He's the one that the church is called his bride. He's the one that has the authority. And we know from his words that he did what the Father told him to do. In Matthew 28, in verses 18 and 20, and I'd like to look now at the gospel and the invitation. It is tradition usually that we always do a invitation at the end. And that is good. Actually, Christ's invitation is a ongoing thing. Christ is always saying, come unto me. That's 24 hours a day. And that can happen at any time. Wednesday night, those of you that were here, I wasn't able to be here, but I did look at the lesson and listen to it several times. Gary McDade, that was the instructor in that course on Revelations, he did a great job of just reviewing what the church is, of what worship is, and talking about the gospel, what the gospel is. And he used a little different method, and I thought, that's really good. I want to go over that again Sunday. So this is in red. This is Jesus speaking, and you're going to hear him teaching the gospel through what he told the apostles. And then the apostles went out in Acts chapter 2, and said the very same thing. We have today so many people in religion, they're not doing all that God commanded. And they want to just do part of it. And that's a real problem. And that came through men. I think John Calvin, I look at some of his teachings, that's where a lot of people got off on doing just part of the gospel. Jesus came and spoke to them. This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, saying, all authority, there's what we've just been talking about. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So there's our authority, Christ. Now, I want you to look at the action words here. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Disciples of all nations. Another action word, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching, another action word, them to observe all things. There's the word all again. All things that I have commanded you. And there's the word commanded. Remember the word used with Noah? He did all that God commanded him. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When I was down in Virginia at a Whole Food store last weekend, a lady had asked me a question. I actually think she asked me that question just so she could start talking to me. And I helped her out with what she was looking for. And she gave me this comic book that was on obeying the gospel. And I've read through that, and it talks about hearing the word of God, believing the word of God, and then you once you believe it, you pray, you're saved. And then if you want to be, you can be baptized. I do not read that any place in what Jesus taught. I do not read that any place in what the apostles taught. They taught that you had to hear the word, you had to believe it, you had to repent, you had to confess, and then you were baptized. And the scripture in Acts chapter 2 says, God added you to the church. And that is a point to keep in mind there. You just don't, it seems like a small thing, but you don't join the church, because if you join the church, you did it. But if God adds you to the church, he did it. So we want to keep that in mind. We are added to the church, and it's a difference here. That it's a point that needs to be made. We have to have authority for everything that we do. See, next is John 8:24. You notice it's still red letter. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe, there's another part of the gospel. You have to hear the gospel. You have to believe it. If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Who's he? Christ, the Son of God. That's what has to be left. And this is Jesus teaching the gospel at the time to the apostles. Here's what is said after that. John 8 and verse 30 says, as he spoke these words, there's the hearing part, listening, many believed. So that's hearing and believing. Jesus teaching it. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's actually, in that place, I think, it's repeated twice. Christ says that. There's the other part of the gospel. Repent. It's not the gospel if you don't change your life and live for Christ and live within his teachings. As we just sung in that song with Tom, Walking in the Light. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whosoever confesses me, so this is in red, Christ speaking again. Here's another part of the gospel, Christ teaching it. Therefore, whosoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So confession is an important part of obeying the gospel, to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what goes with that? We could say all that in tables as much. Mark 8:38, still in red. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, and this is the other side of that, and talking about Christ and of my words, talking down the Bible, you don't believe a thing in the Bible, in this adulterous and sinful generation, there's what Christ called that generation, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man, Christ, be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We know that Christ's coming back in the air, and those that were not willing to wear the name of Christ, to obey the gospel, then Christ's not going to speak up for them. He puts it here, the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with his Holy Ghost. That holy angels, that brings back another point on that that is made sometimes. There's nothing in a name. Well, that's not true in my point of view, and I here's my argument on that. No mother that knows the Bible would name their daughter Jezebel. I was thinking of Larry Arnold's family. He had reunions, and he'd have 100 people here in his family. Not a one of them that I knew of was named Benedict. You don't do that. A name is important. And you look at other names in history. Anyone, if there, I don't think anyone wants a last name of Hitler, but if there was same to that, would you name your child Adolf? There is something in the name, and we need to wear the name of Christ, a Christian. His name needs to be on the church. He said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. So whose church is it? Christ. Why not give it that name? Why would we want any other name? Again, the Bride of Christ, wouldn't it have his name on it? So there is something in the name. Mark 16, 15, 16. This is the same thing that Jesus said in Matthew. Mark records it. Mark records it this way. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach. There's the listening part, the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that's another part of the gospel, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We have to follow the gospel. And as I've talked before on this, on the order is important. And I mentioned that example of in the nursing home I've been in for, and people that are having trouble with dementia, trying to get dressed is a chore. And I'm seeing that in my family's life right now. Just getting your clothes on is a hard thing to do with dementia. And they try to put socks over their shoes. Put their shoes on, put the socks over it. That's out of the wrong order. The world of religion does that with the gospel of Christ. They get these things out of order. If you look at what Mark recorded about what Christ said, the preaching started, they listened to that, they heard it. Then the belief came. And then we would be expected, he talked about repenting, that repenting will come. And then you confess your belief, and then finally you're baptized, and then after that you're added to the church. The saved were added to the church. So we know there's an order to that. We are not baptized in whom we believe. You can't do those things and still be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It isn't. In Acts 2:41 it reads, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's the way God did it. He added those that were going to be saved that had followed his directions. They did like Noah. Noah did all that God commanded him to do. All. Praising God, this is in that same chapter of Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's why I think we really don't want to use the word join. And the Lord added to the church daily such as being saved. You're not voted in. You're not going through any of things that man comes up with. We're doing it according to the way God showed us the pattern in the New Testament. Something that I always want to keep in mind when it comes to this. This is where, I think the religious world today just releases this. In Psalms 119, back in the Old Testament, verse 160, and this is in the New King James Version, it reads, the entirety of your word is truth. You know, when it says all, that's the entirety of it. So we have to look at all the truth of God in the things that we do. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So we look at every one of those. And that's one of the things on Wednesday night with Gary McDade when he was teaching that class. He would look at what was taught in Revelations. Then he'd go back through the New Testament and look at all the different scriptures in the New Testament and put that all together. And you'll find that there are no mistakes in the New Testament. I've heard some try to preach on that, the contradictions, and I've never seen one yet that I thought was reasonable. It is the infallible Word of God. I believe totally in it. I've seen the wisdom in my life of people living their life for Jesus Christ and following the teachings of the New Testament. And here on this earth, they have a better life. And the greatest thing is yet to come, that heavenly home. So the Bible, I'm completely convinced it is the Word of God. There, this goes on to another lesson on that, and I'm out of time now, but that's just some thoughts that I had on this. Next week, I believe Daryl will be here, so We look forward to that. I thank you for your very kind attention and all you had to put up with the technology getting the thing started too. But I'm very pleased with the attention and what goes on. It's nothing like teaching a group of middle schoolers in the classroom, I'll tell you that. The attention here is outstanding. But I wish I had some middle schoolers here too. I don't see too, I maybe have a couple close to middle school, but it's good to have them too, even with what all you go through growing up. I don't know many of you that want to go back and start and grow up again and go through all that you have to go through with our young people. And I think in this world, it's a little harder today too. Well, that's the lesson. I'll leave it with you. If there is anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, don't put it off. Redeem the time, as the scripture says. And if you don't understand exactly what the gospel is, let one of us teach you. There's several people here that could teach someone on that. Just speak up, ask some questions. We can have a study with you. So the song that Tom will be leading us in is Trust and Obey. So, Tom.
And we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all good will, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide what we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He has richly repaid. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but His blessing we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey.
shut things down here to them.
If you will, turn to 174. Prepare our minds, take the Lord's Supper. I want to thank Jim for doing a fine lesson this morning. A lot of work in that.
A lot of work in song leading, Tom. Thank you.
174.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread,
Communion. The reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 26, starting verse 26 through 29. You know, the Church of Christ, as they meet up on the first day of the week, communion is part of our service as the early church did. You know, the early church met up on the first day of the week, and communion was part of their service. You know, if we'd have worship as they did on the early church did, communion has to be served up on the first day of the week, each and every time we meet upon the first day. So let's remember that. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, this is the most spiritual thing each and every one of us to do for herself. You know, it's between you and God. And we're to do this in remembrance of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You know, let's go to God and give God, ask God the blessings upon this bread that represents his precious body. Almighty Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord God, you have allowed us together here, Lord, to take this communion with you, Lord our God. Lord, and we ask your blessings upon this bread that represents your precious son's body and all the pain and suffering he went through, because he loved each and every one of us so much. Lord God, we're so thankful for everything that he did for us upon the cross. And we ask this in your son's name, Jesus, and amen. Now let's go to God and ask his blessings upon this cup that represents Jesus' precious blood that was shed upon the cross for each and every one of us. Our Almighty Father, we're so thankful, Lord God, for Jesus. And Lord, in the pain, the suffering, and the blood, Lord, that flowed down his side, Lord. Lord, the blood that forgives us of all of our sins, Lord God. And we're so thankful, Lord God, that he was willing to go there for you and me, Lord. And Lord, and just do the things that he did for us, Lord. As we remember his blood, Lord, as we take of his juice, that represents it. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. And also, as the early church met, you know, they passed an offering up for help to support the church. And let's go to God and ask him his blessings upon the offering. Almighty Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord God, for what you have done for us this week, Lord, and the things, Lord, that we have profited, Lord. And Lord, and we pray, Lord, that when we give back to thee, Lord, we will give back to thee we deserve, Lord. And Lord, so thankful, Lord God, of all the things you have given to us, Lord. And Lord, and as we give what you deserve, Lord, we ask your blessings upon it. In the name of Jesus, and amen.
I'm sorry, my hands getting old hands. Have a couple of cards sent to the church here. And this reads, a very special thank you. Every kindness has a part in bringing joy to someone's heart. It's sometimes easy to forget that there are nice people out there doing nice things for others. Thanks for being such a special reminder. And this is from Samantha Fiore. And her note is, I want to thank everybody for the Bible and the money that was donated. It was very much appreciated. Samantha Fiore. And I have another card. This is from the Mater family. Thank you for your sympathy. We are beyond grateful for all the support you have shown us throughout this time of grief. Your kindness and thoughts will never be forgotten. The family of Grayson Matthew Bailey. So, I'm going to keep Shirley and her daughter and the family in your prayers as well. I won't read all those today. Take the time in doing that. As this morning's Dave was teaching, I think it has Mark teaching, I think, on the book of Mark. But Sunday evening, June the 9th, that's for the ladies' Bible study, is on 2 Kings 1 through 3. And we just finished the book of Revelation up, so we'll be starting something out. I might announce that this evening, or Wednesday evening. We'll be doing a study for someone who doesn't believe in God, someone who doesn't believe the Bible, somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. And some of the questions you can get them to reason on. So there's three booklets in that. It's something that I'd wanted to do earlier when we went with Revelation. So now I'd like to finish up on that. What do you say to someone that's an atheist that doesn't believe in anything? These are some questions you can ask them to get them to consider some things. We'll be studying that for several weeks. It'll probably take me a couple weeks to do the first lesson there. Take 4 nights. And Tom and Ernie will be teaching booklet number 2 and number 3. So the first one's on believing in God. The second one is I think it's the Bible, and then the third one will be on Jesus. So looking forward to those Wednesday night. Come and be with us if you're able. Anything else that needs to be announced at this time? If not, then I'll ask you if you're able to stand, please stand, and we'll have Tom dismiss us with a prayer.
Almighty Father, we thank you so much for being with us through this service. Thank you for Jim and his lesson. Help us always stand for what's true and right in your Church of Christ. And never grow weary
help us all grow in the Lord and do your work here and help each other. Help the church proceed and move forward. And in these changing times, help us grow spiritually and in number. We thank you, God, so much for everything. Shirley being with us this morning, strengthen her and her family and be with them. Help us all grow, God, and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.